But open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6, the 6th chapter of Matthew. The title of the message this morning is Our Lord's Teaching on Prayer. Our Lord's Teaching on Prayer. And just by way of introduction, I don't believe that there's any believer that would say, I'm satisfied with my prayer life. I've arrived. Maybe there's someone here who would say that. Not the one standing up here in the pulpit would not say that. I know even the apostles of the Lord said, Lord, teach us to pray. As they observed the Lord Jesus and they saw just how important prayer was in the life of the God-man, they saw what it meant to him and his life, and they knew they fell so far short, as I do. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So I'm going to try to bring this message on prayer this morning, but I don't pretend to be a master in this grace of prayer. I don't pretend to have even reached the level of novice as of yet. But thank the Lord we have the teaching of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He not only teaches us the importance of prayer, but He teaches us how to pray. And so let's study that this morning. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse number 5. The Lord Jesus said, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You see, he says, don't be as the hypocrites. They want to appear to be very, very spiritual. And so they'll, you know, make a big to-do about their prayers out in public. And the Lord Jesus said they have their reward. They want to look very spiritual, and they do. And so they have their reward. Verse 6, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The NIV translation of the scripture translates this verse this way, and I really like it. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Verse number 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, the Lord Jesus in this verse, He's not prohibiting long prayers. And He's not prohibiting long prayers, but what He is prohibiting is believing that we're going to be heard because we pray a long time. Well, if I pray a short prayer, then, you know, maybe the Lord will hear me a little bit. But if I pray a long time, then definitely, you know, He'll hear me more. So He doesn't prohibit long prayer, but He prohibits us believing that somehow through whether our prayers are short, that that's going to impact whether or not the Lord answers our prayers or hears us. Now notice verse number 8, and I'm going to, once we get here into verse number 9, I'll slow down a little bit. But verse number 8, the Lord said, Be not you therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Now, when you think about that, your Father knows what you have need of even before you ask Him. So why pray? Have you ever heard that before? I've had someone tell me that before. Well, if you believe that all things that known unto God are all His works from the foundation of the world, and that He's ordained all that shall ever come to pass in this world, then, you know, why should we pray? Well, I'll give you a couple reasons here and maybe a few more later on. Prayer, as we're going to go on to see, is just as much about worship or maybe even more about worship than it is about asking for things. Prayer is about worship. Secondly, because our Lord and Master, our King here, commands us to pray. Isn't that what He says? Notice verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. That's a command, isn't it? After this manner, pray ye. Notice, our Father. I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus taught us how to pray here. When you pray, when I pray, we pray, our Father. For the believer, God is our Father in at least three ways. He's our Father by creation. He created us, and He's everyone's Father by creation. But He is our Father, secondly, as a child of God by regeneration. That is, through the new birth, when the Holy Spirit in His mercy and grace came. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, and He gave us spiritual life so that we might see the kingdom of God, so that we might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His children. He's our Father by regeneration. And He's our Father by adoption. He's adopted us. Today, you know, I believe today we celebrate Father's Day. Right? There's a day that it's Father's Day today. Our Father. Our Father. The eternal God. Our Father. You know what? If the Lord Jesus wouldn't have taught us to say, our Father, we wouldn't have dared, would we? To call God. And to be able, under the instruction and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, to call Him our Father. That's amazing, isn't it? We say our Father, first of all, because when we pray cognizant that we're part of a very large family of brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? So that's why He taught us to say our Father. Why? Because when we pray, we need to remember it's not just us. We're part of a very large family of God. I look out on this audience here this morning and I look at my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have one Father. We're part of the same family. The family of God. And secondly, we pray cognizant that it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother, that God hears our prayers. We say our Father, we pray thinking, yes, He's our Father, but He's our Father because He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He hears and accepts us through Him. You remember the Lord Jesus told Mary Magdalene after He rose from the dead. Remember these words. He says, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, go to my brothers, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father. And to my God and your God. Now, why would He say that? Why wouldn't He just say, I ascend unto the Father? I believe He makes a special point here so that He might teach them and teach us that God is our Father. Just as He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I go to my Father and your Father. These apostles who had abandoned Him. These apostles who had forsook Him. The apostle Peter who had denied even knowing Him. The Lord Jesus said, you go tell my brothers. Go tell my brothers that I ascend to my Father and to your Father. You see, when we pray cognizant. When we say our Father, why? Because we are one with the Lord Jesus Christ and God hears us and accepts us through Him. We are sons and daughters and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at going on here in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray you. Our Father. Notice, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, our Father, in His mercy and grace, has chosen to manifest Himself in a place called heaven. You see, to our weak understanding, He said to dwell in heaven, but strictly speaking, God is everywhere. The heavens of heavens cannot contain Him. God says in Jeremiah, He said, Am I a God at hand and not a God afar off? Can any hide Himself in secret places that I will not see Him? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. God fills all things, doesn't He? The theologians talk about He's omnipresent. But, you know, my mind, this little mind of mine, I can't wrap my mind around that. Can you? I can't wrap my mind that God is everywhere equally at all times. I can't wrap my mind around that. I'm a finite creature. And so God in His mercy and grace has chosen to manifest Himself in a special way in a place called heaven. There's no point of space, whether within or without the bounds of creation, where God is not. You read Psalm 139, and we don't have time this morning. Read Psalm 139, and the psalmist, as he thinks about that, this knowledge is just too wonderful for him. He said, I can't even speak a word, and you already knew what I was going to say long before I said it. God, an amazing God, an awesome God from the Scripture. And yet, in His mercy, He speaks and allows us to speak to Him as our Father, which is in heaven. I hope that makes sense. Our minds just can't. God is so great that, especially in the state we're in today, we can't begin to even understand the smallest amount about Him. And you know, we are never going to be made gods. We're never going to be made gods. When we are taken to be in heaven, we're not going to be little gods. No. And so, even in eternity, God will manifest Himself because He is a gracious and merciful God to us in a place called heaven. I can't explain everything that there is there, but I wonder at it. I wonder, and I thank the Lord for His mercy and His grace. Now, heaven for the believer is the throne of grace, isn't it? As we think of heaven, where our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man, the risen Christ Jesus, where He sits today at the right hand of God, sits in heaven. And heaven is a throne of grace for us. And so as we say, our Father which art in heaven, we do that always considering and remembering that we can do that because our Savior sits at His right hand there making intercession for us. And we go that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. So I want to now transition to six petitions. Six petitions. Some of you here who've preached before and some of you who have maybe spoken at work and other places, have you ever known when you go into something that you have way too much for the time that you have? Well, that's kind of how I came up here this morning. There's so much I'd like to share with you. And I know I won't get to everything that I want to say. And I hope that I don't try to say so much that I'm unclear in the things that I do try to say. But I do want us to look at these six petitions. Our Lord teaches us here how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. He says, first of all, here's the first petition. Hallowed be Thy name. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, how should we start our prayers? Our prayers, first of all, are to be worship. Lord, hallowed be thy name. Father, may your name, and the name stands for God, right, for His person. May your name, may your majestic person be honored and glorified. That should be our greatest desire as children of God, that our Father, that He be magnified. Hallowed be thy name. As the psalmist said, you get the sense that the psalmist was feeling this way when he wrote this verse. He said, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for your mercy and for your truth's sake." What was he saying? He was saying nothing more than, "Hallowed be your name. May your person be sanctified." I have written in my Bible here that this word hallowed, if you go into the Vine's definition of words, what it actually means is, may your name be opposite of common. God's name has become so common, hasn't it? People take His name in vain and they don't even begin to think the first thing about it. And what's even worse, that as a believer, I'm so used to hearing it that it doesn't even offend me as it used to. But we should pray, "God, give me a heart to, hallowed be thy name. May the Almighty, All-Sovereign God be seen as who He really is. Our God is in the heavens. He's so great, He has done whatsoever He hath pleased." May God make Him hallowed first of all in my heart. That's where the greatest need is. The greatest need is in my heart. God, give me a heart. Father, give me a heart where I can worship You, where I do worship You. Hallowed be Your name. Hallowed be Your name in Your church. If God cannot be honored and worshiped in the church, then where? Where is He to be worshiped? And I think it's good to even pray, "Lord, even in this world, hallowed be Your name." Now notice, petition number 2. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Secondly, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Now what's that speaking of here? There's a sense in which the kingdom of God has already come. I listened in. A lot of times y'all don't know that I'm with you, but I tune in almost every service online. And I'm able to join in the worship, even though I'm not here with you in person. I'm so thankful for that means of hearing the gospel. But I heard Brother Fred preach on Wednesday night, and he spent quite a bit of time talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Such a wonderful message there that he brought. But there's a sense in which the kingdom of God has already come. The Pharisees asked the Lord when the kingdom of God was going to come. And this is what Brother Fred mentioned on Wednesday night. And the Lord said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." That is, it's not with outward show. "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So there's a sense in which the kingdom of God has already come. Every time a sinner is converted, every time a sinner comes to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God comes. And we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come." That is, "Lord, save your people. Lord, save all." Save your people. "Thy kingdom come." And someone may be thinking, "Well, hasn't God elected a people unto salvation?" Yes, absolutely. Isn't it sure? "Because the Lord Jesus lived and died for them that they shall be saved." Yes. And yet the Lord teaches us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." God will be sought for that which He will give. It's the same argument that people might have around preaching. "Well, if I believe that God is sovereign and that God elected a people and He's going to save those people, then why preach? Why go? You know, why leave your family and your friends and go off and be missionaries in other places and preach the gospel?" The same God that ordained salvation, He ordained the means by which people would be saved. And God ordained that by the foolishness of preaching, He would save those that believe, and that salvation is by grace through faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's the same thing with prayer. Yes, God is sovereign and He's decreed all things. And yet, you look over in the book of Ezekiel, God talks about the things that He's going to do for Israel. And then at the end of saying all of those things that were sure, He says, yet He would be inquired of Israel for those things. The same God who ordained is the same God who's ordained that we pray, that we beseech Him. Lord, Your kingdom come. Thank you, all of you this morning who prayed as that the Lord would bless as I try to preach. Oh, unless the Lord bless this word, you'll leave here just as empty as can be. We need the Lord's blessings, don't we? Lord, Your kingdom come. Pray for the success of the gospel that many will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But there's a sense in which the kingdom of God is yet to come. Right? So there's a sense in which it has already come. Oh, may it come today. The kingdom of grace. But there is a kingdom of glory still coming. And that's also the kingdom of God. That kingdom of glory, we like to think about that, don't we? That's going to be ushered in when the Lord Jesus Christ comes with the trump and the shout of the archangel. And He comes with all the believers who've died already and ascended on high and are with Him this morning. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again and brings them and He raises their bodies from the graves and reunites them with their spirits and those who are alive and remain. Our bodies are changed and we're ever to be with the Lord in glory. Lord, Thy kingdom come. The Lord Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. And what did John say? Even so, Lord Jesus, come. What was he doing? He was praying, Thy kingdom come. Well, isn't that day when the Lord Jesus is going to return set in stone? Yes, it is. Pray for it. You say, well, explain that. I don't even try to explain it to myself. I just know that that's what the Lord has taught us. Pray for these things. Don't be discouraged from prayer. Scripture says that we are always to pray. The Lord Jesus taught that we should pray in His messages. He taught that we should pray in His parables. He taught that we should pray in His life. Do you think that if the Son of God needed to pray, you think that we might need to pray? When I try to preach, I'm preaching to me. I hope you know that. I pray the Lord will make it a blessing to you. But I try to preach what I need. So easy to become cold and indifferent in prayer. And as goes prayer, so goes our worship. Because prayer is first and foremost worship of God. I need to move on here. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? How is His will done in heaven? It's done swiftly, right? It's done cheerfully. You think there's any murmuring in heaven? No, it's not any murmuring in heaven. God's will is done swiftly. It's done cheerfully. We are taught to pray, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He revealed a lot about God's will when it comes to salvation and His preaching. Let me just remind you of a couple things that He said. He said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That's a wonderful will, isn't it? Lord, Thy will be done. Call every last one of Your sheep. He went on to say, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Lord, Thy will be done. That's a wonderful will, isn't it? The salvation of sinners and the gift of eternal life. God, the Lord, He taught us so much about God's will and salvation. But you know, there's very little that God has revealed to us concerning what His will is for us as we walk through this world. You say, what do I mean by that? I don't want to be misunderstood. You know, will we walk through this world rich or poor? Will we be healthy or sick? Will we have family and friends around us, or will we be alone? There's so much that God hasn't revealed to us about what our life is going to be like in this world. Isn't that true? Lord, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here, as in all portions of this message, I have to ask the Lord God, my Father, to forgive me. But forgive me, because I can say those words, but to have a heart to really mean those words. Lord, Your will be done. And my experience, which is worth nothing, but what I've experienced in life when it comes to this as a believer, I think it's almost easier to pray, Thy will be done. Talking about the Lord's will about what life will be like walking through this world as we pray about ourselves. But much harder about those that we love. And that's sinful. I don't excuse it. But I do. I have found that to be my experience. We want those that we love. We want them to have an easy life, don't we? We want them to have a healthy life. We want them to have everything that they need, to never do without, to never know loneliness, to never suffer. That's what I want. That's what I want. But I have to pray, Lord, Thy will be done. And it's as we worship God in prayer and we seek His grace and mercy. It's a throne of grace to shape our hearts. To shape my heart, that I could really say this and pray it in earnestness and in truth. Lord, Your will be done. Fall so far short. But you know what? I think if we were any good at this, the Lord wouldn't have had to spend so much time teaching about prayer. I need to try to finish up here. Just real quickly, notice these three petitions. The prayer shifts here from worship to praying for our physical and our spiritual needs. You see verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, provide for us the things that we need, our food, shelter, clothing. It's right. It's right to pray. You know, prayer is worship in the sense that it puts us in the frame of what's really true. That we are totally dependent upon God for every breath that we take. And you know, when it comes to bread, we may have a bank full of money. But unless God give us the grace and the strength and the health today to be able to swallow, it won't do us a bit of good. Lord, We are totally dependent upon you. Give us this day. So this bread is more than just bread. It's confessing that, Lord, we totally depend on you for everything. Verse number 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You think about all the debt of sin that we accumulate every single day of our life. Is there ever a day? Is there ever a moment where I don't need to pray, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins, and give me a spirit of meekness to forgive others, to walk at peace with others. Lord, you've forgiven me in so many ways. Count ways that I don't even know. Lord, help me to be forgiven, to have a heart of forgiveness. And then notice verse number 13. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Lord, we are perfect weakness. That's what the Lord teaches us to pray here, right? We are perfect weakness. Unless you help us to stand, we're going to fall. Lord, keep us from sin. Keep us from temptation. Keep us from the evil one. Why? Because if we're tempted, we will sin. You know, the Scripture says that the Lord Jesus Christ, when Satan came and tried to tempt him, there was nothing within him that Satan was able to be successful tempting him. Why? Because he's holy, harmless, undefiled, everything that I'm not. When Satan comes to tempt me, unless God help me stand, I know one thing for sure, I'm going to fall 100% of the time. That's what the Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray here. Lord, without you, I can't do anything. Without you keeping me, I'm going to fall, and I'm going to fall, and I'm going to fall, and I'm going to fall. Help me, Lord. And notice the prayer ends by shifting back to worship. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You see, it starts with worship and it ends with worship. Lord, you're sovereign. This is your kingdom. This is your world. All things are yours and rightfully so. Thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So prayer is not so much an act as an attitude of dependency upon God, a confession of our weakness, yea, of our helplessness, our dependency for daily bread, from protection from sin, from the evil one. We need our God, don't we? Why should we pray? Is there any doubt why we should pray? Prayer is coming to God, telling Him our need, committing our way to our Father, and then by His grace leaving with Him to deal with the case that seems Him best. Thy will be done. May God bless this word to us this morning. And my prayer for me and for you is, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach me to pray. May the Lord bless this word. Let's be dismissed in a song.